Well, good morning. I guess I'm looking at everyone that does not own a party barge. It's a joke. So glad you're here this morning. As we head off to the lake or wherever we're going, please let's remember why we get to celebrate and have that day off. It's because of those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. I will be leaving after service, be head to the lake. So I hope you enjoy your weekend. This morning, I want to give you a brief update on kids ministry. I don't feel like I ever kind of get to have that opportunity to kind of brief you on what's going on. Things are going really well. If you serve in HC Kids, you know that things are going well. They're really, really busy. I want to give a shout out to those that help, that are on that rotation, that teach, that do check-in. Thank you so very much. Thank you. It's not possible without people serving. On average, we run about 95 to 100 kids each and every week. We spike as high as 125, and that takes a lot of volunteers. So yes, I'm coming at you right now. If you would like to serve in HC Kids, please just come see me after service. Say, Luke, I would love to help you out. And we would love to put you on that rotation. So you can love on some kiddos. A brief overview of what's to come in the summer. We've got a new event called Mission Maze. Now, it's kind of the outside the norm, outside the box of what you have traditionally called Vacation Bible School for a long time. We're not really kind of following that model. And let me tell you why. Let me share my heart with you. I really desperately want to make disciples out of your children. I want them to learn to follow Jesus. I don't want this event to be something that you drop your kids off so you can go do something for a couple hours. I don't want that. What I want is an event so your kids can come here and they can be discipled and they can learn how to follow Jesus. So we're going to kind of change that model up a bit. Mom and dads, you get to do reach, right? Sometimes you take kids along with you. Sometimes you leave them at home, don't want to mess with them. But what we're going to do is we're going to teach your kids for 3 nights on biblical servanthood. And then instead of just teaching them about it, we're actually going to load them up in a bus, and they're going to have the opportunity to immediately act out what they just learned. So for the older kids, they're going to get on a bus, and they're going to go. For the ones too little that you don't want to let them leave, I get it. They're going to stay here, and they're going to do some crafts as well. Something that's going to teach them servanthood. So that's coming up in June. It's going to be fun. We're going to end with a big party. Kids camp, second through fourth grade. If you got a kiddo that's never been, it's a good time, and we want them to jump on board. So that's kind of what our summer looks like. I promise, I want to make disciples out of your kids. Trust, and it's going to be a great time. So kids ministry, everything's going well. We desperately need help. We'll always need help. We've got a lot of ladies that are pregnant. And when they're pregnant and having babies, they have to like leave the rotation for a while. And so that's a great reason. That's fine. I'm not bummed about that. That's awesome. But it does leave a little bit of a void there for us to kind of fill in the gaps. So please, if you're feeling the draw to serve in kids ministry, just hit me up. I would love to get you on that list. This morning, we're going to talk about a word. I'm just going to say it. It's called sanctification. Now, sometimes in church, I feel like we don't really talk about that word, or we use different terms in place of that word. And by doing so, we kind of haphazardly talk about the way that we follow Jesus. You know, I want to live a Christ-like life. Well, that's fine. It's a good term. But we throw different terms around, and what I think it does, it kind of waters down this word called sanctification. It diminishes the call on our life to live a holy life. So we don't really fully understand the term sanctification. So this morning we're gonna chew out some stuff and hopefully it paints a really clear picture about what sanctification or holiness, to be set apart, really means. To get there though, we gotta cover a couple words real fast. And I really could spend a whole lot of time on it, but we're gonna move through it quickly. The first word is justification. A lot of times we hear justification, adoption, and sanctification all kind of tied in together. But justification is a declaration. It's God declaring us justified because of the sacrifice of Jesus. It's a judicial term. You're declared innocent because of the sacrifice that Jesus made. So that happens in an instant. Adoption is God allowing us into his family because of the blood sacrifice of Jesus. Those are two terms that really we need to spend a whole lot more time on, because I don't really understand them totally. Do you? I don't get it. I know what happens. I can kind of define the terms, but those are two humongously loaded terms. That makes sense? It's kind of a weird word that you use. They're loaded terms. Justification and adoption. Those two things are massive. God declares us innocent, and then he calls us sons and daughters. Think about that. He calls us sons and daughters. Now, when does this happen? Justification and adoption happen immediately when you place your faith in Jesus. Immediately. There's no wait. God doesn't say, I'm going to declare you innocent, then I'm going to hang on to you for a little bit, make sure you're really doing what you're supposed to, then I'm going to adopt you. It happens immediately. You're justified and you're adopted when you say, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus. Immediately. Now, because we've been declared innocent and because we're now God's sons and daughters, that puts us in a really cool position. Because God loves us so much, he declares us at that moment holy. We're going to call this positional holiness. Now, positional holiness is not really anything that you did. It's all God. Amen? Because God is awesome, and he loves us, and he provided a way for us to have a relationship with him through Jesus. It's called positional holiness. You're in that position. You've been made holy in the sight of God through Jesus. Positional holiness, that makes sense. We're in that state because of what Jesus did. Now, for us to get to the term sanctification, we have to understand holiness. And sanctification is holiness and positional holiness. And this is where things get really cool. Because God loves us. He doesn't necessarily want to leave us in this positional state of holiness. This is tricky. Bear with me. So we've been made holy through justification and adoption. God makes us his own. He sees us as holy, positional holiness. Now, the really cool part is because he loves us so much, he doesn't want to just leave us in this positional state of holiness. We're going to talk about manifest holiness, which is sanctification, the act of being made holy, set apart. That's what's really awesome. God just doesn't want to leave us here being made holy. He wants to transform our life to live out a holy life. Clicking? So, positional holiness, manifest holiness is actually living out the holiness that God's given us. So that's the term sanctification. He wants to free us up from the bondage and transform our lives. 2 Corinthians 3:18. So all of us who have been or who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. For years, I have taught students on sanctification, and I have used the illustration of a mirror. And the way I would teach sanctification is that each and every day, look in this mirror. And if you are growing in sanctification, if your life is looking more and more holy, as you look in the mirror, you're going to start resembling Jesus more and more each and every day. This passage is the one that I use. We are to be more and more and more like Jesus through the efforts of the Holy Spirit each and every day. So let's take a look at this. Unlike justification and adoption, which happen simultaneously in an instant when you accept Jesus, Sanctification is a process, okay? It's God's will that we be sanctified, 1 Thessalonians 4. So let's map it out. So over here, we have placed our faith in Jesus. You with me? Tracking? Placed our faith in Jesus. We're going to take a walk over here. And some of you may be like, this is a kind of a bummer walk, because right here is when you die. But that's heaven, right? Everything in between is sanctification. Everything from placing your faith in Jesus to when he calls you home is sanctification. God making you holy. Colossians 3, 1 through 10. This is where we're going to set up shop for a little bit. Let's read it. Bear with me. 10 verses. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. That term, justification. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of the world. So we're seeing this transformation. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. I love this group of passages. It's like a blueprint. It's an outline for sanctification. It's a great passage of scripture for us to be able to understand this term much more clearly. The Puritans would teach sanctification using two words. We're not going to like jump into seminary class, and hopefully I can say it without messing it up. But the first word is vivification. Y'all say that. Say that back at me. Say it. It's kind of like Worcestershire. You say it fast and nobody really knows what you're saying, right? Worcestershire. They use two main terms to teach sanctification. Vivification is this. It means pursuing God. Verses 1 through 4. We've been raised to new life with Christ, and we're supposed to set our eyes on the things of heaven. We're supposed to set our eyes on the things that are above. Another passage that's going to kind of help us walk down this road to understand how we set our mind on the things of above is Romans 12:2. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So it's a shift in our mindset. Shift in our mindset. Story for you. I know you can relate. I used to work at a different church, and I worked there for 6 years. And I would leave my house, and I would drive down the road, and I would hang a left on River Ridge Road. That's how I got to work, every morning for 6 years. Well, God calls me here. Changed jobs. Well, guess what? I don't hang a left at River Ridge Road anymore. I just keep on going straight. Y'all ever had that? Whether you move or change jobs, it changes the way you drive around town, right? So when I first started working at Holland Chapel, I'll admit to you, because we're cool, I hung a left. And before I realized it, I was in the parking lot. I was like, hey, I just missed you. Just wanted to say hey, moron, right? Because we get used to doing something for so long, and it's really hard to kind of break that habit. So I had to make a conscious decision every morning not to turn left. This is that renewal of your mind that we're talking about. So when we set our mind on the things of above, on the things of heaven, on the things of Jesus, it's a conscious decision to go straight or to turn right, but not left. You are given the ability to kind of overcome that desire to turn left. So as we're pursuing holiness, as God is taking us from just positional holiness into this manifest holiness, you have to make the decision in your life whether or not you're going to go left or right. You have the ability. I get really tired of believers saying, oh, I messed up. I just need to ask for forgiveness. I just cannot seem to overcome it. Wrong. Yes, forgiveness is great, but you have the ability to say no to the sin long before it creeps up in your life. It's called sanctification. To look more and more like Jesus. So as we read these passages, when we set our minds on the things above, it's a change in the way that we think. This is why the Word of God in the life of a believer is such a huge thing. Now, I really want us to talk about how we treat the Word of God. I became super convicted this last week as I was studying this and looking and hearing from other teachers. And we like to treat God's Word. There's several different ways that we use it, like a coping mechanism, like you're having a really bad day, so you Google search all the passages that are going to lift you up, right? And you just kind of scan through them just to see how you can make your day better. Or you know that a big decision's going to come up, so you research all the passages on how to make that big decision, right? So we kind of use God's Word in a supplemental fashion to try to make it out to what we want it to be when it is what it is. And it's there for us to read and to study and to fall in love with. So I really want us to, when we think about sanctification, when we think about setting our eyes on the things that are above, we have to understand what the things that are above are. So instead of just picking those verses that make our day a little bit better or kind of lift our spirits, we need to learn how to study it. We need to learn how to lift the characters off the page and place ourselves in there. So when we think about the things that are above, imagine if you were to place yourself at the woman at the well caught in adultery. Just imagine if you were to put yourself in her shoes, how much more of an understanding you would come to the grace of God so that you can start to fully understand the things that are above. So each and every day as you're trying to look more and more like Jesus, not turn left but go straight or right, you go back to that story that you read. And you start to understand it on a much deeper level. It starts to transform your life, not just help you get through that day. The Word of God in the life of a believer is incredibly important. I pray that we would be a people that would slow down and read God's Word. Read it the way it was meant to be read. Start to finish. Pick a book and read it. Study it. Allow it to transform your life so that as you wake up in the morning, you start to place your eyes on the things that are above and not the things of this world. And I promise during that day, your life will look a little bit more like Jesus. The next word is mortification. Say it with me. Mortification, a little bit easier to say. I don't have to say that one really fast. Mortification. All it means is putting to death the sin in our life. The second part of 3 through 10 says, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Now, I want to remind you, as we look at placing our eyes on Jesus and putting to death the sin in our life, these things are not separate. We don't work on pursuing God on Wednesday and then work on putting to death sin on Thursday. They go together. They go together, okay? You with me? Those happen simultaneously. So as we look at putting to death the things in our life, we can go back to that driving illustration. It works for both. This is where we need to get real with ourselves, real with the sin in our life. And you know what I'm talking about. Let's just use a red light, for instance. Just pretend I have to turn at a red light. You get to the red light and you have to stop because it's red. So you have a little bit to think about it. This is how sin occurs in our life. We come up to the sin and we have a decision to make. Do we choose sin or do we choose the things that are above? And so we come to the red light. Y'all know the wrestle that I'm talking about? That mental struggle that you go through? Your heart's torn? It's a conscious decision to chase after Jesus, not the things of this world. Not the things of this world. Let's look at Hebrews 12. It's really cool. Meat and kitten. We didn't really talk about passages, but he read it this morning. It's really awesome how God works. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. NIV says entangles us. And let us run the race with endurance that God has set before us. So we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Ain't this really cool? It all kind of flows together. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding his shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. This is where I think a lot of us mess up when it comes to sin in our life. We don't like to confront it. Agreed? We don't like to address the sin in our life. So what we do, instead of putting it to death, we learn how to tame it like a lion in a cage. We learn how to navigate that sin. We learn how to suppress it when we're at church. We learn how to suppress it when we're at job because we have to look a certain way. We learn how to keep it in its cage until we want to bring it out when it benefits us the most. So I think a lot of us, instead of putting to death the sin in our life, we learn how to tame it. We learn how to make it look the way we want to. And instead of putting it to death, when we tame it, y'all know what it does? It causes us to drift, and we look less like Jesus. Remember, this sanctification, it's a long road, and sometimes it's going to be really awesome, and sometimes we're going to slip up dramatically. But if you want to keep tracking up, looking more like Jesus, you have to realize that you have to put it to death. You need to drag it out back and put a bullet in its head, right? Strong language, what you tracking? Scripture's really strong about it. It doesn't say tame it, learn how to control it. It says put it to death. If you're serious about looking holy, if you're serious about looking more and more like Jesus every day, you can't keep it in a cage. You got to kill it. Because if you keep it there, it's going to creep up every single time. Every single time. This morning, I don't want to be confused with teaching legalism. I'm not talking about perfect behavior. I'm preaching holiness, and there's a massive difference. Massive difference. We're going to mess up. As we are trying to look more and more like Jesus, we're going to mess up. Colossians says we won't be fully sanctified until he calls us home. But we can chase after him. So we're going to mess up. So I'm not teaching legalism. I'm preaching holiness. Grace-driven effort. Grace-driven effort to look more and more like Jesus. There's a quote I want to read that kind of helps us process the difference. Robert Coleman, he says, holiness in this world is not distinguished by perfection of performance, but by the purity of desire. Holiness is not measured by the perfection of your performance, but how pure your heart is in chasing after the things of Jesus. I got a picture I want to show you. Bring it up. Yep. Okay, let's it says, I'm painting Daddy, Brindley. You can laugh. Does it look like me? Not really. Not at all. Let me give you the story to that picture. I come home, come through the door, and I hear this little voice, Daddy. She comes running around the kitchen. She grabs me by the hand, she runs me to the refrigerator, and she points. She wanted to show me the picture that she drew of me. And I said, you did so good. Oh, my goodness, that's perfect. But it's not. I wasn't concerned about the perfection of her performance because it doesn't look like me. But in that moment, you know what was huge? The purity of her desire to please her dad. She was so thrilled. So in our life, when we're pursuing holiness, remember God's made us holy in his sight through the blood and works of Jesus Christ. We're holy, but do we act holy? No. Are we pursuing holiness? Sure, manifest holiness. Sanctification. He's not after perfect performance. Legalism is no way to his heart. You're going to mess up. You're going to wake up and you're going to say, today is the day that I start pursuing the Lord. And you're going to trip. That sin that you've suppressed for a while is going to come out. It's going to trip you up. But if we can remember, like the picture, that he's not after perfect performance. Listen to that. He's not after perfect performance. He wants you to have a pure heart when you try. Grace-driven effort to look more like Jesus. To look more like Jesus. Church, when we realize that when we're trying to live out a holy life, what a beautiful picture of Jesus that paints to the world around us, it should embolden you to make that decision, not to turn left, but to turn right. Let's read Hebrews 12:14. It says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy, to be sanctified. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So it matters what you do. Remember, 1 Thessalonians 4, it is the will of God for your sanctification. You ever wonder what God's will is? It's for you to be holy. We have to wake up each day, set our mind on the things that are above, put to death the sin that's in there, so that when we go to work, when we go to school, when we're trying to raise our kids, when we're trying to help our parents, we are living holy so that they can see Jesus. Holiness paints a beautiful picture of who Jesus is. Amen on that one. So church, I know we use some big words. It's pretty simple. And by the way, this morning I'm really just talking to people who have placed their faith in Jesus. Sanctification is not for those outside that family. When you place your faith in Jesus, until he calls you home, everything in the middle is sanctification. God working through the Holy Spirit in your life for you to look more and more and more and more like Jesus. Let's make that conscious decision not to turn left. That's where you used to live. That's where you used to work. But to turn right. The things that are above. The things of heaven. Let's make that decision. Let's pray.